Yes, hello, my fellow pilgrims. This is Daniel King from Mannheim. Would like to speak today on something that has been dear to my heart. By God's grace and Lord willing, I will be doing the daily inspiration this week, and this is the first of the week. So I've been praying about what to share, and this is something that has been dear to my heart ever since I became a Christian. And but it has taken on a different light than it did in the beginning. And this, what I would like to speak about, encourage you with, is in Psalms 126:6. It reads, start with 5 here. Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I think what that verse is saying, that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I think what it's saying is that in order to sow, it takes sacrifice. But after you sowed and you're watching the crop grow, and then when the reaping comes, there is great joy from the increase of the sacrifice. So someone who is having trouble keeping food on the table, it would be a sacrifice to take some of his precious seeds, or let's say maybe corn, from his corn crib, and to take that and to scatter it around on the earth, because he could use that corn to eat and feed his animals with. And here he is sacrificing it and spreading it around on the earth. And I think that's what it's meaning in this parable, that he sows in tears because of the sacrifice. And that sowing in this parable, I believe, is talking about the gospel. The seed in this case is the gospel. And the person here, he, meaning the person going forth with the gospel. And the gospel is the life in Christ. The gospel is not just salvation, although salvation is with it. So the gospel, as we see, the gospel of Matthew, or better said, the gospel according to Matthew, the gospel according to Mark, the gospel according to Luke, and the gospel according to John. Meaning that Matthew explained the gospel. That's why it's the gospel according to Matthew. So this seed would be the story that Matthew wrote, or the story that is written in Matthew. So when we go out and sow or share this seed, we are sharing what we read in its entirety in, like, just for instance, the book of Matthew, or the book of Luke and Mark and John. So what I'm saying, the gospel is more than just sharing how a person needs to be born again. The gospel is in its entirety. And that's why Jesus also very clearly states this on his last words, after he, both by explanation and by his life, has lived and shown man how to live and explained man how to live. After that was all done and he had finished his work down here on the earth, he had given his life and paid for the redemption of our souls. After that was all finished and he was ready to ascend up to heaven, these are the words that he said. He said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you." And he says, "Lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. It says here, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So what it's saying there, he did not just say, "Go and share salvation." But rather, he said, "Go and make disciples." There's a big difference there. Sharing salvation is the first step in making a disciple. Sharing the salvation is basically explaining and expounding to someone how he can enter into the kingdom. But once the person has entered into the kingdom, he needs to be taught how to live the Christian life. Of course, when a person is born again, he is then filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit ministers to him the things in the gospel. So it's not like the person himself is working alone, the same as a school teacher would be teaching a child, because the child would not be able to learn. The child only learns what the teacher teaches him. In this case, we also have the Holy Spirit working in that person. But it does appear like a person who has salvation alone is filled with the Spirit and is then left alone has a much harder time to both survive and also to be effective in walking out the Christian life. So I've been pondering these words, and to realize that we can take the gospel, we have the power and the ability to take the gospel in our hands and go out and look for fertile ground. And when we find fertile ground, we can seed that gospel in there. And that seed will grow and take root and bring forth life. And I have found that it is an amazing thing that God has entrusted this to us. It's an amazing thing that God has entrusted the propagation or the passing on of the gospel into our hands. And how that we have the power with our bodies, our mouth, our hands, and our feet, we have the power to take this gospel, this precious, precious gospel, this gospel that Jesus gave his life for, the precious blood that was spilled for the sake of mankind. We have the calling and the bidding and the commandment and the opportunity and the privilege to take this gospel and to take it and to hold it in our hands and to walk out of our house and to walk to our neighbor and to present and offer this gospel to him is an amazing thing. And if he receives, he then passes from death to life through us bringing the gospel. I would like to read Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I remember one of this was burning on my heart for many years before I stepped out and obeyed. I always knew that the Bible commanded that, but for some reason I refrained from doing it. And I thank God today that he had mercy on me over that time. But I remember the day when the burning was so strong I could no longer contain it. And I decided that I want to experience sharing the gospel. So I went one evening and I went to my closest neighbor, which was at the end of the lane. And he was a needy soul, had a drinking problem. He lived in the basement of a house. And I went down and I knocked on his door. And he came to the door and I told him, I'm your neighbor in the driveway here. I came to share some news with you. And then he said, okay, so go ahead. And I said, I was wondering if you are prepared to face God, if things are well with your soul. And, of course, that turned into an interesting conversation, but I just remember the feeling of being able to share the gospel and how that has led to a life. And here's the thing I'd like to point out, too. Not that this is the reason that we share the gospel, but I think too many times we view the Christian life as a life filled with cannots and may-nots, and we find ourselves at a disadvantage compared to our possible neighbors and friends who seem to have many privileges in life. Being able to live out the passions that, you know, things like entertainment, thrilling things, daring things, being able to live out their passions, and it seems so many times the Christian is required to, not be involved in much excitement. But I would just like to challenge us to take a look at Paul's life and to determine in the book of Acts whether his life was dull. I do believe that God created us, as it says, that every herb and living thing was created to feed mankind and all the animals. And I do believe that in a natural way, God created us. And we don't have to go very far until we realize that man is created for a desire for excitement and thrilling things and a desire to lead and a desire to conquer, a desire to grow, a desire to increase his knowledge. And all those things are all integrated in God's will for us. If we do it his way, first of all, we need to be broken and to serve him in his way. I would just like to encourage us that if we embrace this lifestyle of making disciples, of going and spreading this precious seed, and then taking these people who respond and expound and teach them all the things of God, that there is much opportunity for those exciting things that a man was created to do and be. There is one other element, though, that I have found very true, and that is the element of weeping when we sow. I have found that to be very, very true. However, I have found that the weeping is what grows us up. It is what causes us to sink our roots in deeper. And the weeping that we do for the sake of sharing the gospel, for the sake of going out there in the mountains and rescuing those sheep who are caught in the briars, and getting our hands dirty and being cold and wet on a late night, spiritually speaking, and helping to untangle some sheep from the briars, you know, many a times we find ourselves with our hands bleeding and there's pain. Those are the times of weeping, when the sacrifices are great. However, those are also very fulfilling times. And I have found that to be faithful in this calling to make disciples is a life that is fulfilling and fills our soul with the peace and the joy and the satisfaction of being faithful to the call that God has called us with. And even though I know that there is much to be learned, I guess this call, this little inspiration was an encouragement to others who are seeking this desire to follow it through, and God will provide the necessary courage and opportunities as needed. And you will be richly rewarded, both in this life and in the life to come. God bless you.